Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this second Sunday of Easter will be taken from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, and we're going to read from chapter 24, verse 13. It's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. We're going to begin at verse 13, and we're going to read through verse 34. And we're going to read this in Jesus' name. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew up and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said unto them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleophas, answered him, "Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem who does not know what the things have happened here in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed, and a word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some of the women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found just as the women had said, but they did not see him. And he said unto them, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village which they were going. And he acted as if he would go farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent." And he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And when they told, when they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word. And Father, it is victorious and it speaks of victory. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us in this truth because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're talking about the resurrection day. And we're starting to see some great events taking place already. And this is, to me, one of the greatest events that is recorded about the resurrection. These individuals were walking, and they were heading back probably from the Passover from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And because we're reading the ESV, it does tell us it was about a 7-mile walk. So this is a decent walk. You could do it in a day's journey, but it'd take you a little while. And so they're walking along, and it seems that as they're walking along, they're having this discussion about everything that took place. And you can feel the heaviness in this conversation. Because their hopes and their dreams basically have been dashed. We understand that as human beings. When we have plans, when we see things going in a certain direction, we see things taking off in a very powerful way, and then all of a sudden something kind of derails the train. We could feel the weight of that. Maybe in our lives, life is going along quite well. Maybe things are splendid. Our businesses are picking up, our family's doing well, everything seems to be in line, we're doing quite well. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, something happens. Maybe it's COVID. I don't know. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe someone in your family passes away. Maybe it's a key individual in your life that is extremely important to you. In other words, it can derail things. I don't know what the circumstance may be. I do understand that in the day we're in, there's a lot of people's lives that are turned upside down. But sadly, because it is such a global and national understanding, we can lose sight of someone else that may be dealing with cancer in their kidneys. Or maybe someone that has lost their business because of other reasons. But the fact of it is, these guys were walking and they were discussing what was going on. So it basically says that same day, two of them were heading off to Emmaus from Jerusalem. Probably, like I said, coming back from the Passover feast. And they were talking about the events that had taken place. But it's kind of really interesting how this happens, because as they're talking and they're walking along, Jesus comes up alongside of them. And he's listening to them. And so now they're walking along with Jesus, but they don't understand that it's him. Because their eyes were held. See, it's not that we find God, but it's he that finds us. It's not that we can perform some sort of great act or that we have a full understanding of who he is by our own intellect. But rather that he comes to us. And this is just such a beautiful part of Scripture, because in their moment of need, Jesus comes alongside of them. And in my humanness, I would want to jump already, fast forward to where Jesus says, "You fools, why are you so slow to believe?" But Jesus wants them to talk. He has this relationship with his believers. He wants them to talk. He wants us to share what's on our hearts. So many times in our life, we turn and we think that, you know, prayer is only what we do for God. Prayer is for us. Yes, we can honor God through our prayers. But it is for us also to be able to process and talk with the Lord about what is going on in our life and to be honest. If we can't be honest with ourselves, who can we be honest with? This stuff stinks. What we're going through right now, it just stinks. I'd like to say another word, but then I'd be banned. But you can use it. What we're going through, even if it's not this thing we're dealing with in our day and age today, it is a difficulty. It is robbing us of joy. It is robbing us of peace. And God wants us to be honest. What's going on? So he comes alongside these guys, and he's listening to what they're talking about. And he says very plainly, "What is this conversation that you're having? Why are you being a negative Ned?" I didn't say Nancy. "What are you talking about?" And yes, I do think that this does spur a conversation with them, like, what's wrong with you? You don't know what we're talking about? But how about for a moment we say, they're not seeing the full picture. They're talking about the negativeness of this. But are they seeing the full picture? Do they know what Christ has shared with them ultimate times? Do they know that he has spoke about the resurrection? They're seeing it from a negative side only. What are you guys talking about here? You guys are having this conversation, and I'm adding a little here, so please forgive me. It's not the ESV, it's the JCA. You know, you guys are having this conversation, and man, it looks like somebody licked all the frosting off your cake. I mean, if you took a bite of that candy and it was sour and you just got the face to go with it, what is going on? And they look at him, what are you, nuts? Where have you been, hiding under a rock? What's going on with you? That'd be like someone walking in the middle of, you know, one of these stores down here and saying to somebody, what are all these masks for and what's going on around here? Why are these people all doing this? Don't tell me you and say, you haven't heard what's going on? Where have you been? So Jesus, in this moment of desiring for us to express, to actually deal with what's going on in our life, I think very openly says, what things? You haven't heard what's going on? You haven't heard about everything, the events that have taken place? Share them with me. What's your perspective on this? And they're honest. They're very honest. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, he says, this man was a prophet. He was so mighty indeed. I mean, when he told people to walk, they walked. When he told people to stretch their hands and it was withered, it was made whole. When he said people could speak, they spoke. He said the Pharisees, they didn't know what to say to him. You can imagine all the things. We were one time out in the middle of the woods or in the field or in the wilderness, whatever you want to call it. And you know what? There was over 5,000 men out there, plus women and children. We had no food, but yet he fed them all. He fed them all. One time we heard this account that, you know, his disciples were out in his boat and there was a middle of a storm and he walked out there on the water. Who walks on water? This guy could do anything. This guy was amazing. He broke all the cultural lines. He cared about everybody, not just men. He cared about women. He cared about those with diseases. He touched them. He came into their life. This guy was amazing. Didn't you know? You haven't heard any of this? Well, the worst part is, our leaders took him and handed him over. They beat him. It was an ugly scene. Here's a guy that could do anything. But he couldn't stop this? They beat him. They tortured him. And they crucified him. They put him to death. And to tell you the truth, dude, I don't know who you are and where you've been, but we really thought this was it. We thought this guy was going to lead us out of this grip of Rome. He was going to give us our independence back. See, that's one thing that we forget often when we read the scripture. See, the children of Israel were continuously looking for someone to get them out of the grips of Rome. And so they were looking for an earthly king. And we thought this guy was it. I mean, this guy had all the potential. He had all of the great works. He was going to redeem Israel. He says, you know what? And today, it's the third day. It's the third day since these things were done. And this is important to them, as we've even said with Lazarus and his death. This means Jesus is really, really dead. He's really, really dead. But it's not all like just total consuming on these events. Now they're confused. Because see, today is the third day. There's no doubt about it. We know that. We watched this. We experienced it. We saw all of Jerusalem going up in arms over this whole deal of Jesus. And they took and they crucified him and they killed him. And then they buried him in this tomb. And there was valiant men that stepped forward and actually gave him an honorable burial. Gave him a brand new tomb. But then there was some women in our company. You know those women. They're always off doing their own thing anyways. And they ran out to the tomb. They ran out to the tomb because, see, the guys were all scared and hiding. That's what I think is cute about this. Because when we look in our churches, even in this day and age, a lot of them are led by powerful women. In other words, when I served in Alston, when I served in Bruce Crossing and stuff, don't get me wrong, there was great men there. I'm not trying to, but the front pews were full of these older women that just held that church together. When I think of Painesdale and the days that they were going to shut their doors because they had no members, they had no money, and you get some of these older women that sat there and said, we are not shutting these doors. These kids need this church. There's a lot of integrity in them women. But these women from our company, they went out there and they amazed us. They blew our minds because what they're saying does not make sense in the human understanding. This can't happen this way. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And they did not find his body, but they came back sharing that they saw visions of angels. These angels that spoke with them and talked with them, telling them that he was alive. When we heard about this, some of those that were with us went to the tomb. And they found out exactly it was the way. Peter and them, they ran there. They saw that that tomb was empty. A stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty. But they didn't see him. And then Jesus turns around, and he looks at them, and he's talking with them as they're walking along. And he says, you foolish ones. You're slow of heart to believe. And he doesn't just say what Jesus shared with them. You're slow of heart to believe what the prophets have shared with you. See, God has been telling you and preparing you for years and years, generation after generation, that this Son of God would come. And they've been sharing for generations that he would be the lamb, the sacrificial lamb from the foundation of the world, and that he would enter into this world, and that he would indeed redeem Israel, but not in an earthly sense like you think, that he would come and he would lay down his life for his people. The foolishness is not listening to the wisdom of what God has given to the prophets of before. We get carried away even in this day and age of listening to the propaganda and everything else that's going on out there. And I'll be the first to admit, I don't know what to believe. I don't. But the one thing I can believe is that Scripture is consistent. And Scripture continually tells us that our help is not founded in a government or any other thing. It is founded in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That we don't look just to this earthly life. We look to the heavenly. And we understand that God the Father has given his Son in our behalf. That there is nothing that they can take from us. He says, you guys didn't listen to the prophets of old. He says, they were given for a purpose. This Scriptures, brothers and sisters in Christ, is given for a purpose. To give us a hope beyond the circumstance that we're in today. He says very plainly, you didn't listen to them, but they told you is extremely necessary. And Jesus says this in the Gospel of John. It is necessary that he would give his life. It was necessary that Christ Jesus would lay down his life to give us victory. He says, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then it says very plainly, he opened up, and this is the amazing part. He opens up all the way from the Old Testament, the Torah. He takes the first five books of Moses, and he brings them right through it, speaking. This is what God had said continuously. Do you believe him? It hasn't changed for us. We have been given sacred writings. Whether a human being believes it or not is not necessary. The reality of it is the truth of God's word, inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit to encourage us, not bring fear. To encourage us that no matter what this world throws at you, that they cannot rob life from you. Because your life is founded in him and him alone. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted, he allowed them to understand what the scriptures speak of, concerning whom? Himself. We have life in Christ Jesus alone. The scriptures speak of what he will do. And so when they started drawing near to this village, Jesus, and I love how it says this way, he acted like he was going to go farther. Why? Do you have a desire? Do we have a desire to hear more? Do we have a desire to know him? See, the word was presented. The word was presented in its greatest form that it ever could be. The author of the word sat down and presented it, or walked along and presented it to them. But did they have a desire? So he was going to continue his journey. But guess what happens? But they had a desire. They wanted more. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us. You know, the night is coming. I mean, this is pretty important here, boy. You know, it's getting to be dark or whatever. It's going to be, you know, evening here soon. So, you know, the day is far spent. Just stay with us. Have we invited him? Even in the middle of these things that are going on around us, are we too busy? And Jesse is too busy looking at stupid Facebook or all these other things, or Fox News, CNN. I don't know. Do we invite him? Lord, I'm scared. But your word assures me that I don't have to live in fear. Do we have a desire? So they invited him. And what does he do? He goes in. Isn't that what we teach our Sunday school? Knock on the heart's door. What's that song, Judy? Well, but the one about, you know, we let him in. But anyways, I mean, it's so simple. We all should know it, and I can't remember it right now. But, you know, one door and only one, but yet it's size of two. Yeah, or something. I don't know. You're right. There's a few of them. Let's not waste any more time here. But it's important. He's knocking. Are we willing to open that door? So anyways, so he went in with them. And then this is the amazing part. They invite him in, okay? But the roles change here, because this is the way it is. He's the guest. But actually, he takes on the servant's role again. He takes on the host role, which a lot of people miss this. So he was at the table with them, and he takes the bread. And he breaks it, and he blessed it. He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And now in handing of this bread, it is revealed to them who he is. That they are in the presence of greatness. That they are in the presence of God. So powerful. Now, some people want to equate this to communion. I don't really have a big issue with going down that road. I just feel that, at least according to what the scripture tells us, one of the elements is missing, so therefore I can only carry that so far. But it sure does show the provider. It does sure show the one that serves. See, in this time, he would have never been the one to serve, because he was the guest. But the fact of it is, when he enters in, he is the one that serves them. And in his service, in his giving, it is revealed of who he is. That to me is extremely powerful. That God desires, and I hate to say it because we take that in such a weird way, but he desires to serve us, to give to us, to provide for us. And so their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And now, in all honesty, because they were in fear and doubt, now they had been, it had been revealed, Jesus had revealed himself to them. They no longer need the carnal vision anymore, and he's gone. Because they have that hope. They have that hope. And the awesome part about this is they can't contain it anymore. See, they were down in the dumps. They figured it was all over. They were just really bad shape, walking back and forth saying, oh my goodness, how could this ever be? Look around. There's a lot of us that are down in the dumps. We're watching our 401ks plummet. We're watching all kinds of things go on. How can this ever be? Well, just as a simple note, 2008 did the same thing. We came back. But that's not where our hope is held. Our hope is held that God continually watches out for us, that he continually provides for us. And he is knocking at the heart's door. But will we let him in? Letting him in gave them such a great hope. They were telling Jesus, it's late in the evening, you better stay here. The day is far spent. But now that they have this hope in them, what happens? We got to go give encouragement to somebody else. We need to go back to Jerusalem, 7 miles back again, and share this news with them. Because it's that important. Our God lives. Our God is victorious over hell, death, and the devil. We have nothing in this life to fear, for we are his children. He sees us where we're at. He walks alongside of us, and he wants us to share with him. He wants us to speak with him, and he will encourage us. And in his encouragement, it'll be revealed of who he is as he continually provides for us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let this win. Don't let this issue have victory in your life. Is it serious? Of course. But God is above these circumstances. He's above all of these things. So they go back and they share that great news. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we need to do. To enter out into this world, whether it be in Facebook, whatever it be, however we can do it, and share the positive news that he is risen. He is risen indeed. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the fellowship of the body. We thank you, Father, that you continually hold us in the palm of your hands. Though the adversary may roar like a lion, he may enter out into this world and try to scare the bejeebers out of us, Father, he is a vanquished foe in and through you and through the work of your Son. Allow us to live in that victory. Allow us to be encouraged. And allow us also to be so excited about this news, Lord, that we would enter out and share it with our friends, with those that are hurting. Father, we thank you for all things, but most of all, the gift of life. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our last closing hymn will be taken from the blue hymnal, He Lives.